So this is the first day of the Slough Summer Advance. You're making history. Your history. I'm looking at a room full of history makers. And it's going to be, I'm really excited, actually. I'm not just saying that because I'm supposed to. I am excited. And we had a cracking meeting, good meeting with the team on Wednesday night where we prayed and prophesied and declared what God was going to do. And he is going to do some good things. So are we all together, as they used to say in Uganda? Are we together? Yes, we are. That's really good. So today is Father's Day. Who's a father in the house here? Quite a few. Okay, some aren't sure, but hey. anyway, today is Father's Day, 17th of June. And what a good day to come and start Slough Summer Advance. A day to celebrate fathers, but also our Father who art in heaven. Did you recite that when you were at school? Our Father, our Heavenly Father. And fathers, you know, we can often have a view of fathers that's very different to the view that we need to have of our Heavenly Father. And it often depends on our own circumstances and our own time we had as a child growing up. And it depends on our experience. Some people have painful experiences, some positive experiences, and they think back to all the good things that they did with their dad. I'm in that category, actually. I just look back to my father with very fond memories. But some people, unfortunately, have negative memories. But we need to actually get past those memories of our earthly father and not project them on our Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father is one that is all goodness, all loving, all kindness. He's for us. He's cheering us on. He's not angry. He's not an angry God with a big stick. He's not distant. But he desperately wants a relationship with each one of us, because we are his sons and daughters. That's who we are. And a father, a good, good father, wants a good relationship with his sons and daughters. So that's the sort of father we're thinking about today, our Heavenly Father, one who is for us, who loves us, who's for us, who loves us unconditionally. We don't have to perform for him, but he loves us. Just let that sink into your hearts and spirits this morning. Now, there's a story in the Bible, one that Jesus told. It's a very famous story. I would say perhaps if you've been a Christian a long time, it's one of the stories that you could recite almost verse to verse or piece by piece in the story. It's a story about a father who threw a large party at his house, a party for the whole village. And it was really, really noisy. And you could hear it a long way away. You could hear it far away in the fields. You could hear it in the village. And anyone in earshot of that party could hear the music and the dancing. That was the sound they heard. They heard the fun, they heard the laughter, and they heard the singing, because something good was happening. It was a party. Now, a few weeks ago, in fact, it was, I think, the day before I went off to Uganda, I like to walk along by the river. I live near the river in Eaton Wick, and that's how I get my exercise. I do this circuit 3 or 4 times a week. And I was just thinking about this day, June the 17th. I knew that we would be here and that I would be speaking. And the Lord dropped this phrase into my mind, and it was that music and dancing are the sound of the Father's house. Music and dancing are the sound of the Father's house. And I knew where that came from. That's an actual quote. Music and dancing are the sound. And this is the Father's house. We are his sons and daughters. And when we meet together, it's meeting for our Father. So this is the Windsor Hall, yes, but it's also the Father's house. It's somewhere where he can come and enjoy his sons and daughters and celebrate with us. And not just on Father's Day either, but I think that's almost prophetic to say, look, this is the Father's house. This is Father's Day. And the sound of the Father's house is music and dancing. And we're gathered, aren't we, to celebrate who he is. So I was just thinking about this and I thought, well, what is the sound of the Slough congregation? Now, we all have a sound. I'm not saying we sing and talk and that's the sound, but you know, we pick up things from people, don't we? We pick up vibes. You know what I'm saying? If you're old enough, like me, to have remembered the Beach Boys. Who remembers the Beach Boys? Oh, great. Well, if you don't, I like the Beach Boys. Shall we all sing together Good Vibrations? Perhaps not. That was one of their favorite, their famous songs. It talked about picking up good vibrations. Well, we all give off a sound in that sense. Have you been with people that are really happy? Do you pick that up from them? They may not say, I am happy and sing, but being in their presence, you think, wow, there's something about that person. They're happy. Or you meet someone and you know, there's a sadness about them. They haven't said, oh, I'm sad, but you pick it up. We all do that, don't we? Is that right? We pick up things. Everyone has a sound. We pick up stress. Have you been with people that are stressed and after 5 minutes they may not have said anything, but oh, you're stressed too, you know? Or happiness, sadness. Groups have a sound as well. Some groups are friendly. Some are unfriendly. Families, you go into houses. You may not have been in a house, this house before, but you go in and you pick up things, don't you? You pick up whether it's a friendly family and there's good relationships, or you just pick up that, hey, something's really wrong here. You know what I mean? You know, you pick it up. It's sort of intuitive. So the question I was thinking about is, what is our sound? What is the sound of this congregation? Hopefully it's not too noisy, because our neighbours will start to come and complain. But we have a sound. And I want to just come back to that phrase that music and dancing are the sound of the Father's house. And that's found in the parable or the story of the prodigal son. You probably all guessed that that's what I was talking about. It could be called the story of the Father's love, which I think is a better title than the story of the prodigal son. And it's found in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. I'm not going to read the chapter, but I am going to tell the story. Now, I'll make a little confession here. I probably don't do it now, but over the years of my Christian life, if I was sitting in a meeting and the preacher would start to say, I'm going to speak on the prodigal son or the lost sheep or something that I sort of thought I knew inside out, inwardly I'd go, oh, I know that. But I just want us to open our hearts to what the Holy Spirit would say to us through this. It's just a slightly different slant, but I am going to tell the story and just comment as we go along. For you that may not know the story, I think most of us here probably do, but I'm just going to go through it. The story begins, as you know, with a father, a wealthy father, probably a farmer, who had two sons, the younger son and the older son. And the younger son decided that he wanted his share of the estate, his share of the money. And so the father divided his property, divided his money, the money he was going to leave, between the older son and the younger son. And the older son stayed and he worked for the father. He was faithful to the father, he was obedient and he was hardworking. But the younger son, all he wanted to do was get away from home. He just wanted to leave and be free and have nothing more to do with his father. And we read in that parable that he squandered his money on wild living. That's the phrase they use. And later on, we read that he used to visit prostitutes. So he was a waster, really. He decided he would do his own thing, wanted no restrictions, and that's why he wanted his money. But as you know, if you know the parable, things got very difficult for him. He went to a far-off country, and in that land, there was a famine. And he spent his money and was so desperate that he got a job working with pigs. Now, he was a good Jewish boy, so that was probably the worst job you could possibly have, looking after pigs. And in the story, it says that he was so hungry and so fed up that he would have just sat there and ate the pig food, which is pretty disgusting, isn't it? Anything like that is not very nice. So things got really bad. And then in our modern day language, we'd say he had a reality check. He must have been sitting there one day and he thought, this is ridiculous. The Bible uses the phrase, he came to his senses. We would say he had a reality check. And he thought, you know, my father's servants are better off than me. I'm sitting here, dirty, smelly, probably nowhere to live, hungry, would have eaten the pig's food. My father's servants are better off than me. And he thought, this is what I'm going to do. He made a decision. I'm going to go back. And I'm going to say to my father, look, I've been wrong. I've squandered your money. Just take me back as a hired servant, not a son. And so that's what he did. And he had rejected his father, but the key thing is the father had not rejected the son in any way. He'd waited patiently for him, full of love. And, you know, you can speculate that he'd prayed every day. He may have even gone out every day and looked and thought, maybe this is the day when my son will come back, because he believed he would return one day. And then that day came. And he saw him in the distance. It may be he was just outside his house and recognized the form of his son coming. Or it may be that every day he deliberately went and looked for his son. We really don't know. I like to think he went every day and had a look down the road, just to see if the son was coming. And then this particular day, he saw his son. And he didn't wait for his son to come to him, but he ran. That's pretty undignified for a rich man in those days. He ran. And he threw his arms round about him, and he kissed him. Now, that son was probably dirty, probably smelly, smelt of pigs. But the father didn't just say, well, we need to talk about your behaviour. There was no disgust from the father. Just love, acceptance and forgiveness. As the son came, you imagine the scene. The father ran and just threw his arms round about him. Didn't care how dirty he was. He didn't want an apology. He wasn't asking for forgiveness. He just gave that unconditional love for his son. The son did ask for forgiveness for his behaviour and said he was not worthy to be reinstated as a son, but let the father accept him just as a hired servant. But the father wasn't having any of that at all. And while he was still dirty, we don't read that he went off and washed. While he was still dirty, while he was still smelly, the father did three things. First of all, he got a long robe. Now, it may have been a robe that he was wearing, but he had a long robe and he just put it round this dirty, smelly son that had come back. It showed the protection that the father was then going to give the son. It showed that he was covering his shame with honour. That isn't that lovely? He was covering his shame with honour, saying, you're my son. You deserve to be covered with this robe. It doesn't matter if the robe got dirty. Then the second thing we read that he did is put a ring on the son's finger. Now, the significance of that was by putting his ring on his finger, he was saying, all your privileges as a son are restored to you. You are going to be a son and an heir. You're not just a hired servant. And then he put sandals on his feet. Now, actually, so I was taught, well, so I've found out that word sandals in that context doesn't mean sandals like we would wear in the summer, perhaps, open-toed sandals. It meant smart leather shoes. So he didn't just give him sandals, because that's what a slave would have worn, or a servant. He gave him smart leather shoes. And that meant he was reinstating him, not as a servant, not as a slave, but as a son. So while he was still there, before he had showered or washed himself, he was given the robe of protection to cover his shame with honour. He was given a ring for his finger so that all privileges would be restored as a son and heir. And sandals or smart leather shoes were placed on his feet. So he was reinstated as a full son in the family. And then the father told the servants to kill the fatted calf. Now, the fatted calf was not just a little puny little piece of meat. Apparently, a fatted calf would cook and be, when roasted, would be enough for up to 200 people. So it was not a little party that he threw, but it would be enough for the whole village. And he wanted the whole village to celebrate. Why? Because that which was dead was alive, and that which was lost was found. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Father did. Can you see the parallel between that Father and our Heavenly Father? This is the parable of the Father's love. He said, "This son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." So going back to that first little phrase, there is a sound in the Father's house. There was a sound in that house. Now, anyone passing by, they would have heard, first of all, the sound of music, the sound of dancing, the sound of fun, the sound of laughter, the sound of feasting, eating, drinking. If you go past a house where there's a wild party, you would hear all those things, wouldn't you? Well, that's what they heard. Because actually, the words in the Bible was the sound of the Father's house was music and dancing. I've added the other bits, but I'm sure they were having fun. I'm sure they were laughing, feasting, and well, they were feasting because they had the fatted calf, eating and drinking. That's what you were heard. That's what you would have heard. And it was very attractive. Parties have gate crashers, don't they? Why do they have gate crashers? Because they're going to go and sit and be bored. That people are looking for a good time. And so that's why they would gate crash a party. And I was just thinking about this. This is the Father's house. Now, where are the gate crashers? Where are the people saying, "This is such a good place to be. We want to get in on this." Isn't that right? Well, you know, this is what we are about. We are the Father's house. Music and dancing is the sound of the Father's house. And, you know, in so many people's eyes, church would be the absolute last place to have a party and a good time. Isn't that right? You know, you go out there in Slough High Street, interview 50 people and say, okay, let's do word association. Church, I don't think you'd get the word party from any of them, would you? Or music or dancing. You might get a few other things that would not be very good. But, you know, there was a huge, wonderful atmosphere for that son that was lost in that party. There was a sound. You see what I'm saying? The vibrations would have gone all over the village and everyone would have picked up the good, 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 good vibrations. I should have got the song, shouldn't I? So, you know, what an atmosphere there must have been. The Father's house was a place of unconditional love. He didn't wait for the son to be clean. He just accepted him. Place of welcoming. Place of intimacy with God, actually, because what did he do? He ran after his son and he kissed him, which is a symbol of an intimate relationship. And the shame that the son, that the son had was not exposed, but it was covered. And that's what God does with us. He doesn't want to expose things. He covers them. He wants to work with us and not expose our shame, but work with us to remove that shame from us. He wants to give us honour. And there was honour in that party because there was generational honour, wasn't there, between the son and the father. But there was a mutual honour. The son was honouring the father. The father was honouring the son. And God honours us. Every one of you is honoured by God. And there was also the restoration of the sonship. It wasn't just work, 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 I'm going to be a slave or a servant. That son was restored to his rightful position with all his full privileges. And there was so much more. And this is the sound that I want us to have in the Slough congregation. Are you with me on that? I want that sound. I want a place where the vibrations that people pick up, if someone just came along there, and we should have had a banner, I'm sorry, it was not there, but they'd seen River Church, and they thought, I think I'll come in. When they come in here, I would have liked them to pick up good vibrations. They may hear singing, that might have brought them in. They may have heard or seen people standing at the window eating and drinking. They may have even seen dancing, maybe. But as they walk in, they would experience that unconditional love, that acceptance. They would feel an intimacy with a father that they'd never known, perhaps. They would feel honoured. They would feel restored. They'd feel happy because they'd come into a place which is the Father's house, where the atmosphere is charged with the love of Christ. And that is what I want for the Slough congregation. Because people will stay. They'll stay. And they won't stay because it's good preaching. They won't stay because even of the music necessarily. People stay because they feel loved and accepted and honoured. And we have got quite a great opportunity this summer to foster that feeling amongst ourselves. It's not to say I'm not saying we don't need to have outreaches and reach out. We do. But we really have got to have the Father's house with the good vibrations amongst us, so that when people do come in, and they will come in, when we move, when we get to Slough and even here, when people come in, they will pick it up because there will be a sound from this place, the sound of music, the sound of dancing. Now, there was another son in that story. I don't want to major on him, but that son was really out of place with all of this. He was so out of place with what was going on. He had, in his heart, he was angry with his younger brother. He was full of judgment. And he wouldn't join the party. He was out, he heard the sound of music, he knew what was going on, but he wouldn't join the party. And he just couldn't see it. He really couldn't see. He says, I've been here all along. I've worked hard. I've been there. I've work, work, work. I've been obedient. I've obeyed the rules. I've stayed. You didn't throw a party for me. And, you know, his attitude towards that younger son was not very attractive. So you can just imagine the whole of this party going on for the younger son, and then the older son standing at a distance out in the fields, just continuing to work, because he couldn't bear to join in that party because of the attitude of his heart, because of the judgment in his heart. And we could say that that older son represents a real aspect of religion that's not very attractive, and that's so often what people see, isn't it? And we don't want that. It almost represents religion with its rules and regulations and work and obedience and got to do this for God. You know, that's not what we're doing at all. We certainly don't want to be elder sons. We want to be, well, some of you perhaps feel like you've been the younger son, but we want to have an atmosphere of the Father's house where there are, where's the sound of music and dancing. That's the phrase, if you just go away with it, because that's what God spoke to me. Music and dancing is the sound of the Father's house. So we need to get hold of that. And what better day, Father's Day, June the 17th, 2012. So we want to celebrate the fact that this is a place where we can enjoy ourselves, we can sing, we can dance, we can have fun, and we can have laughter. So I thought, okay, we need to do something prophetic to state the fact that that's what we're going to do. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand up and dance and sing or do karaoke or anything like that. But while I was buying the balloons, I thought, yes, I'm going to buy these. So let me just get them out the bag. So what we're going to do, this is going to be a prophetic sound, because music and dancing are the sound of the Father's house. On this Father's Day 2012, at the beginning of Slough Summer Advance, we are all going to do our, let our party poppers go at the same time, so that we're all together in creating these fantastic vibrations in the Slough Church that everyone that walks in is going to pick up. And then Paul's going to be doing some celebratory songs that we can join in. So after three, would you like to get your party poppers ready?
Are you going to risk assessment?
No, I haven't. Do you know, I thought, I bet this is against health and safety, but hey, I won't. Just don't point them at someone's eyes. Are we ready? I'm going to count to three. And then we will let our party poppers all go together and let out a huge cheer that says that Slough Congregation is going to be a place of music and dancing. Are you ready? One, two, three.